Dear God, thank you. Thank you for giving us each other. Thank you for giving us our church. And thank you for giving us the Bible and all the great stories Jesus tells. As we learn about the people who worked in the vineyard picking grapes, help us to learn a lesson that they learned as well, that you love us all no matter who we are, no matter when we come to you, or no matter what. Your grace, your love is always with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go get them, gang. Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Again, Jesus is teaching in a parable. Let's hear the word of God. For the kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into the vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And at about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around and said to them, "Why are you just standing here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only an hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I can't hear or read or even think about this scripture today about the grumbling workers, without going back to 1970s Cleveland, Ohio, and a beautiful summer morning. Apparently, none of my pals were around that day, but there was excitement in the neighborhood. Old man Conroy was getting his house, his roof reshingled. So right across the street from us. So I sat down on the curb, and I watched these guys scraping shingles all morning. Fascinating. Great stuff. And long about noontime, I saw them glance over at me and start talking to each other. Now, you know, kids, we all think we've done something wrong. So what could I have done wrong sitting in the gutter watching these guys pull shingles? They finally called me over. And they said, "We know we made a mess out of this yard with the shingles. When we go to lunch, if you'll pick them all up and stack them, we'll pay you $2. Wow, $2. You got it, man. I'm there. So they go to lunch, and I start working. And I'm thinking, if I do a really good job, they'll pay me $3. So I'm working and working, and finally they come back, and I've done a $5 job. There's no doubt in my mind, it is a $5 job. The guys come back, and they compliment me to no end. They said I'm the greatest shingle stacker upper in history, and they gave me $2. And they realized I had done a $5 job for them. I took the money and pouted all the way home. And just to show them, I stayed inside all afternoon. I pointedly refused to sit in the gutter and watch anymore. I peeked out the curtain, but I showed them I wouldn't watch them anymore. I remember that little story every time I read the gospel message today. So simple. I contracted for $2. What right did I have to be disappointed when the guys gave me exactly what they promised to give me? But it was so unfair. It still feels unfair. Today's parable, a group of guys get hired at the beginning of the workday, 6 a.m., to pick grapes. And they all agree upon the going rate, the daily wage, one denarius. It's not extravagant pay. It's not cheap pay. It's not unfair. It's simply a day's pay for a day's work. No more, no less. Then 3 hours later, he hires another group, promising to pay whatever's fair. Fair enough. At noon and three, he hires more workers, and I'll pay you whatever's fair. 6 o'clock comes, an hour after the 5 o'clock workers. 6 o'clock comes, and he pays a full day's wage to everyone. And as a 6 o'clock a.m. worker, to add insult and injury, I got to line up behind the guys hired first. They worked an hour, and they don't stand in line, and they get a day's pay. All right. But I worked since 6 a.m., so now I'm expecting they could get one denarius for 1 hour. I worked 12 hours. I'm expecting a lot. Though I shouldn't be standing in line behind anybody, I can live with that as I get my bonus. And he gives them one denarius, a full day's pay. One stinking denarius. Well, at least I can tell the guy off. I might not like it, but at least I can tell him off. Hey, why do I get the same pay for working all day long in this hot sun and then stand behind them while they get their pay? Behind them. What's up with that? I got to tell you, I'm not happy and I'm really mad. And the landowner is so calm. He said, you know, I paid you what you were happy to receive this morning. At the beginning of the day, I paid you what you wanted. If I want to be generous with other people, that's my business and nobody else's. Are you envious because I am generous? Literally, the Greek, the landowner asks, are you giving me the stink eye because I'm doing good? And the answer is, yeah, I am. I don't like this. Where's the fairness? I work 12 full hours and she works one and we both get the same pay. Imagine for a minute if the world really worked that way. What if a day's work for a day's pay principle wasn't followed? Think of the anarchy. What would become of our work ethic? What would get done? I get a full day's pay when I sleep in, show up when I want to, get my work done, not get my work done, I get a full day's pay. The owner paying off the one-hour workers upsets the whole social system. It throws out our sense of justice right out the window. God's grace can seem so unfair to us at times. Fred Craddock wrote about the parable. No one has been denied. No one has been cheated. No one has been given less than they have agreed upon. No law is broken. No labor union contract has been violated. The perceived offense lies in the generosity to others. The offense of grace is not the treatment we receive, but the observation that others are getting more than they deserve. And this is absolutely true. They are getting more love, more forgiveness, and more salvation than they deserve. And we are getting more love, more forgiveness, and more salvation than we deserve. God's grace does not lie in the merit system. But because it doesn't, we insiders can be prone to grumble about it. We wonder if grace does not undermine the whole reason for being good, for keeping the rules, for living justly, for coming to church, for being kind, for acting like a Christian. We second guess God who breaks the system and levels the playing field. We could understand paying a full day's. I could understand paying a full day's pay. They're on their way to work and the bus breaks down. Doesn't get fixed till noon. They get to work. I can understand giving them a full day's pay then. But holy cow, what is this unmerited grace? It takes a whole different way of looking at God. William Barclay wrote, "All God gives is grace. That's all God knows. That's all who God is. All God gives is grace. We cannot earn it. God gives it. We cannot deserve it. God gives it. God gives pure love. God gives us not pay or a reward, but grace." Now let's be honest here. I like grace a lot because I'm not perfect. You like grace a lot because you're not perfect. We can't keep the rules. We make mistakes. No matter how hard we work, we can't earn eternal love and salvation. It's freely given and fully given. But at the same time, I've always thought of myself as one of those 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. workers. And so this parable doesn't always sit with me. I was baptized as an infant. I went to church as a child. Well, I was dragged to church, but I went to church. After a hiatus, I came back and been going to church since I was a young adult. I was a deacon. I am a deacon. A minister of word and sacrament. This parable doesn't always sit with me. But let's pretend for a second we are the ones receiving a full day's pay for 1 hour's work. We're the newbies. We're receiving God's amazing grace freely given. It's overjoy. It makes me overjoyed to feel that way. God doesn't hold my past against me. God doesn't hold anything against me. He gives me love no matter when I come to Him. What sticks in the craw of those 12-hour worker, of the 12-hour workers, is that the latecomers get the same thing they get. The grumblers are not really against grace. They're just against grace given to others. And it's a story as old as time. Jonah's up on the hill of Nineveh. He's been a believer his whole life. He's really worked hard at this. And God is forgiving those people in that city. He grumbles. He just gets mad about God, about it. And the scriptures never tell us he gets over it. But we get over it. We get over it. I've told this story half a dozen times in the last year. I'm sure you've heard me tell it before. I love the C.S. Lewis book, The Great Divorce. And part of that story, and the people are walking towards, they've died and now they're walking towards heaven. And on their way to heaven, the man who's been murdered is walking toward heaven and he meets his murderer, also walking toward heaven. The criminal had made a last minute conversion, and he accepted Christ in his heart right before he died. And the murdered man looks at it and says, "It's not fair. I lived a good life, and you killed me." Think about that. You killed me. It's not fair. I'm going to heaven, and you're going to heaven. So the murdered man literally turns around and walks away from heaven to eternal, because he cannot accept the grace given to another. Now, that's a story. Absolutely, it's a story. It's fiction. But it does touch upon a little ember of how we feel sometimes, doesn't it? The generosity of God often cuts across our calculations of who deserves what. For today, I want you to realize that the living water of Jesus Christ and His grace is the same for cradle Christians as Christians come lately, and everybody in between. God's grace is more than the notion we sing, "Amazing Grace." It is, "My amazing grace, my chains are gone. A wretch like me has been saved." This is amazing grace. This is God's reckless love for us. Grace is a wonderful thing when it's showered on us. Grace is just as wonderful when it's showered on those we don't like or don't think deserve it. Grace is God. God's generosity. Grace is God living out, love your enemy. Grace is God's way. Grace is building bridges to Jesus Christ. Grace is the love he shows for us, for our neighbors, for the world. Grace assures us of everlasting perfect love. Grace is not for us to judge. Grace is for us to live into, even when we find it hard to do so, even when we're giving it the stink eye. Grace is God giving himself. Grace is following God's way, is offering Jesus Christ to Christians come lately. It's offering Jesus Christ to cradle Christians. It's offering Jesus Christ to people who live out other faith traditions. It is offering Jesus Christ to God deniers. It is offering Jesus Christ to humanity. Grace is Christ's love. Grace is Christ's love to those who are first and those who are last. Amen.